Hello.
Hello.
Oh, it's working.
We got there in the end. We got there.
Got there in the end. Okay. So, do you know how to start a podcast?
I think we're ready to start a podcast.
I think we already started a podcast. Here we go. So, we're looking at the future of the influencer market and the current market right now.
Boom, boom.
So, just talking about our opinions, I understand you've got a platform, obviously, brand endorsement, in which you work with influencers and brands. So, just talking about the importance of data. And how important it is for influencers to use data as well as brands using data as well.
Of course. Do you want me to get started?
You can get started, yeah.
Amazing. So I started brand endorsement by matching initially celebrities with brands. And brands were essentially looking for personalities on various different social networks that had the most followers because
Oh,
I
wait,
think
I
there were.
just remember something. We didn't do an introduction.
Oh, God, no, we didn't.
So, do we start this again?
No, I don't think we do. We just go from here.
Am I able to cut it?
This is our first podcast, guys, so you've got to give us a break on this.
Oh.
So yeah, let me introduce myself. My name's Rhys Douglas. I started off as an actor on Waterloo Road, and I would spend a lot of time in the green room. And within that time, I then decided that I'd start an influencer marketing platform because I was getting a lot of requests from brands asking me to promote their stuff on social media. So that's a bit of an update on my behalf of things. You can follow me on Instagram at Rhys Douglas One, and that's the same as Twitter as well. So yeah, that's me. Thank you for tuning in, and over to you, Rooch.
So yes, I'll do my introduction as well. Better late than ever. So I'm Rouge. I'm an online influencer, and I've worked with a range of brands from New Look to ASOS, Karl Lagerfeld's brand. So I'm same as Reese, except I'm not a celebrity. I'm just got an online presence that brands approach me to promote them.
That
So
you built organically as well, can I say?
yeah. So yeah, but yeah, I've built organically. I've kind of started from blogging to then getting Instagram to Instagram, then being an online influencer. So this term online influencer has just sort of come about very recently. They used to be bloggers before, and now everyone just seems to be an influencer. So we're just
It's such a buzz trend around the world, influencer marketing. And it's so interesting to see how it's evolved from how it started. As I was going back to my previous conversation about how brands just wanted to collaborate with people that had the most followers, to now, in fact, people now, or brands, should I say, wanting to collaborate with people that have micro influence. So it's really interesting to see how the market's changed.
definitely, definitely. I think I'm obviously in line with my micro influencers. That's where I sort of lie in because I'm only at 7,000, so I don't really have the 10, 12, 15,000 that is what an influencer should probably have, but with the following I do have.
What did you think about that, Rouge, then? So obviously, when you got into blogging and you had, an interest in fashion, did you always aspire then to become one of these influencers with 100 to 200,000
I
followers
think that's
originally?
everyone's kind of first initial thought when they're starting off. Like, not that I want to do this to get followers, but that's the aim I want to be at. And now,
Of course. So now, how like the market's evolved, and now in fact brands are looking to collaborate with micro influencers, and a lot of that is obviously to do with data as well, which we'll go into more detail about. How do you feel about that now? Obviously, now the buzz trend is micro influencers. Do you still aspire to have a mass following?
No, not at all. I mean, I think now I've gone to the point of where I was trying so hard to be probably somebody I'm not, just to get that kind of attention online, to now being like, you know what, followers don't mean anything and I really don't care. So it's more about my content now, and I've realized the stronger my content has become, the more brands approach you. So I don't think it has
Of
been
course, yeah, of
about
course, and
following.
authentic as well.
Definitely. So I don't think it is about following anymore. My personal opinion and the research I've done for this new platform that I presented, Toast, it's genuinely not about following. It's about the content the influencer creates, and if the brand
I strongly agree.
likes that content. But that's only a minority in the industry that brands actually work with them kind of people. Normally, there's still a lot of brands that are working with so many different people just for the following. So,
Course.
you know, it's one of those things. So yeah, it's a bit of a big one to tackle at the moment.
Of course, of course. So, what do you want to ask me? Give me a question. Let's get
So I
started.
wanted to ask you the importance of data. Why do you feel data is important in today's influencer market?
watching how like the market's evolved, as we said, you know, originally brands wanting to collaborate with macro influencers. I think now, obviously, with the new buzzword being micro influencers and brands wanting to collaborate with influencers with small followers at scale, I think that really reiterates how important data has now become. I'm finding that a lot of e-commerce fashion brands, you know, and various, that's just not fashion. I mean, influencer marketing, even going into the financial sector now, you know, that's how I think predominant it's becoming. I think it's almost become like the new way of marketing rather than traditional media. For example, you know, billboards and whatever else not. I think it's very, very overpriced now. You'll spend a fortune to get your brand on a billboard, but there's actually no way of a brand measuring their ROI, except that the billboard company will say, oh, 40,000 people pass this billboard an hour and will see your brand. And I think now with the way technology is moving in influencer marketing, well, it's in fact about how many of those 40,000 people resonate with your target market.
Absolutely.
And essentially then, not only how many of them resonate with your target market, but how many people have engaged with that billboard and actually gone on to your website through seeing that ad, and then how many have made conversions, and how expensive were those conversions. And I think that's really, you know, a priority for brands nowadays, especially when you're spending money in anything. You know, you want to know what you get back in return, and I think data is providing that. And I think, you know, influencer marketing has been the main focus where brands can start seeing a true ROI, you know, from the campaigns. And I think there's still, you know, a big confusion to how brands do measure their ROI. And I think it very much comes down to your objectives. But as I was going back to what I was saying, I think with data now, it's really important that if, for example, a brand is doing a campaign with, you know, 100 micro influencers, it's just not going to be viable for one person to be sat behind a computer working out all the engagement, all the conversions from each of these micro influencers. It just, you know, it just wouldn't be worth it, taking into time how much you're paying that person as well. You know, it'd take them forever just to work out, you know, what the conversion, what the engagement was for one campaign. And I think, you know, platforms, and there are plenty out there now, and, you know, it's something that I'm aspiring to do myself, that these platforms will instantly be able to provide brands with that data, depending on what their objectives are.
I mean, we talk about obviously driving ROI and real brand awareness, but how do you define somebody who can do that? So how would you define somebody who's authentic enough? The word authentic, what would you describe that as in the influencer market?
I think the most important thing for any brand that may be even listening to this, if you're looking at getting into influencer marketing, the first thing you need to do is to make sure that you vet your influencers. And when I say vetting the influencers, that doesn't mean checking they've got no scratches or bruises. I mean, like, making sure that all their followers are legitimate. Because originally, as we said before in the podcast, brands want to collaborate with people that, you know, have hundreds of thousands of followers. But now it's more about micro-influence. So regardless if you're wanting to collaborate with macro or micro, you need to make sure that, you know, these people, these profiles, all their followers are legitimate and they're not robots, basically.
Yeah. So that's what I was going to move on to. So the new platform that I've come up with is obviously called Toast. And that's a platform in which brands are able to work with authentic influencers through data. So the way I would determine somebody's unauthentic through their content or their... content's a bit of a hard one, but following would be someone's bought their followers. The API tools within that platform would pick it up and mark these influencers spam content. So that's the kind of approach I'm taking. But we talk about authenticity in numbers. How do you define authenticity in content? That's my question.
In content, that's really interesting. I think you need to obviously look at the content, and you need to, you know, you need to know what you're looking for. Essentially, when you're collaborating with an influencer, the first thing you do before even vetting an influencer is you need to question why you want to collaborate with them and what exactly you want in return. And you need to make sure that obviously the influencer resonates with that, because if you go on a profile for an influencer, for example, and they are, you know, collaborating with brands left, right and center that have no regime, or, you know, one minute they're doing teeth whitening, the next they're promoting and a makeup line, the next thing they've got a pair of trainers on. That to me just says that they're looking to collaborate with any brand of all shapes and sizes just to get some money in. And really what you want to be doing is collaborating with an influencer that has, as I said, a regime that maybe are just primarily focused on, I don't know, for example, Eurouge. Menswear clothing, you know, I can pretty much guarantee that all your posts resonate with menswear clothing and the way you style it. You know, you're not, for example, going to collaborate with some other brand or a woman's clothing brand because they offer you a hell of a lot of money. And I think it's more about knowing that the influencer is focused on their content rather than the
Absolutely.
Money.
Absolutely. I think that's what I was having a conversation with another friend, and they're like, oh, but would you not take it if Misguided or Pretty Little Thing asked you for a collaboration? As I look, I like the brands, but in terms of collaboration, if it was on my own platform, would it really resonate with our followers? That is no. And would it really resonate with me? The answer is like no.
Banner in the works, banner in the works. What if it was Boohoo Man?
Boohoo Man, yes. I think that, then again, I'm, just, I'm a bit like, do I want to, I think Boohoo Man are great. Like, I love the brand. And I can't say yes or no at the minute. I think when it happens, I'd either take it depending on what they're offering. But I've always been a bit on edge about that one because I'm like, do I collaborate with a brand that's collaborated with a lot of influencers? Or do I collaborate with a brand that I know it's going to do me good? Or do I just not collaborate with that brand? But I that's a problem for me because Boohoo Man, I do like. I've got to say, I do like them. But I wouldn't decline it. I think I'd have to see how I feel at that moment in time if they were to approach me, because I think they are a good brand and they do have a large platform. I think they do me more than I'd probably do them. So
yeah, of course, of course. So I think for any brand listening, starting off, you know, small or big, I would definitely start with micro-influencers. You know, going through the vetting process, making sure that their engagement is legitimate, making sure that their followers are legitimate and they're not, you know, they're not being purchased. And obviously with Instagram's API recently changing, if you, you know, stick that in Google, have a read upon that, that is essentially going to stop all these robots, fake followers and engagement bots. But, you know, it's going to take a lot of time for these to filter out. So, you know, it is still definitely a priority for these brands to, you know, vet the influencers before starting campaigns. Definitely. So I think that pretty much covers, you know, going into authentic content and, you know, vetting influencers. What else did you want to do?
So obviously you see my new platform that I've created for my report.
Very impressed.
And I just wanted to get your kind of opinions on it. Obviously you're in within the industry, you're within both sides of the industry of being somebody who endorses along with somebody who's behind the scenes of the influencer market as well. So as someone who endorses and as someone who is basically a brand, if you were to use my platform, how relevant do you think it is in today's day and age with influencer marketing?
I wouldn't say it's relevant. I'd say it's a priority. And, you know, if brands are not using platforms like yourself, you know, you really need to question how many people have got working in the office to vet all these influencers and measure these campaigns, because it just becomes essential. I think, you know, any big brand has to be having a platform on board and be working with them. And, you know, looking at, you know, when we met in Nottingham, and I showed you my platform and you showed me yours, I think that was just really refreshing to see that we both had the same mindset and we really did understand the market, because, you know, going through the vetting process and everything else was included within that platform, and it just shows what a priority is. Obviously me collaborating with brands, obviously yourself as an influencer, we've seen it from both perspectives. So yeah, it just proved that the data that we'd had and the way we did assess the market was correct.
I think my main approach by doing that, like starting something like this, was that it's not fair just to judge somebody by a book by its cover, basically by the content. I mean, number of followers, because there's a lot of brands that will just go work with somebody for their followers, but if somebody's got 50,000 followers and they get, I don't know, 1,000 likes, 2,000 likes in a picture, but then somebody with 700 some followers gets about 200 likes in a picture, 300, they're doing much better than that person with a 50,000 followers.
Yeah.
So it's just like numbers don't mean anything.
It's so true. It's so true. And it goes back to what I said about, you know, why does a brand want to collaborate with an influencer originally? I think that's the biggest question, because I'm not being funny. There are a lot of brands out there that do it for the vanity aspect of things. So, for example, they would rather just collaborate with an influencer with 200,000-300,000 followers or a celebrity just to say that they've got them on board.
Yeah, it's like
right?
a status. It's like a name. Have your name.
Yeah, it's like a status thing to go, oh, look, we're collaborating with this person. But really, all you've done is they're just a trophy in your little cabinet. Then you've not actually utilised them to actually progress within a campaign or hit an objective. You've just done it for the vanity aspect of things, and I see that a lot. In fact, there's some brands that I've worked alongside where unfortunately we've just not managed to carry on working because there was no objective to be met. They just wanted to collaborate with these guys to go, oh look, we're working
with
this,
like,
and it just doesn't
work. A lot
work.
Of brands that then get like people from Love Island or all these just because they're such a hot topic at the time, so it's like
And don't get me wrong, like, if you've got the money to spend on these people, I can guarantee you'll get a few sales out of them, but you're not going to build a long-standing relationship. You know, regardless of how big your brand is, no matter how small it is, you need to start working with micro-influencers. That's where the highest engagement is. You can get pretty much guarantee they've got a very, very tight community that trust, you know, their influencer. The conversions are much higher, and as that content stays organic and that data absolutely. Keeps rising, and the followers keep rising as well. Like, you know, you want to be on board early doors and start building a long term relationship with these people.
Yes, being a micro influencer myself, I never thought I'd be working with. I would have worked with half the brands I've worked with, and obviously the most recent one.
Which brands have you worked with now?
Karl Lagerfeld jewelry brand contacted me, and
I remember you saying huge. That's big.
I was like, have they got the right person? And they put, we've seen your content, we really like it. And then they emailed me saying thank you for the Instagram story before I even emailed my Instagram story to them and whatnot. So, yeah, it's really weird to see what kind of brands are actually looking at your profiles. You never know.
I think that just reassures what we've just said as well about brands wanting to collaborate with my influencers and just how important it is. So yeah, that's amazing for you. I think you're in a prime position.
Thank God. I mean, I think it's taken me, like, I started, 4 years ago, and it's kind of only this year, 2018, that it's kind of just properly kind of started. Like, I won't even say it's set up, it's just started. And
I think that's one way of just showing how, you know, authentic your content is, going back to how do you judge that? Because, you know, for the 4 years you've been doing it, you've not seen any ROI for yourself, really. I mean, obviously, recently you have now, but it's took you 4 years. So I think now, in fact, you're just reaping rewards for doing something that you love. You're not, you know, I think within year two, if you wanted to be an influencer and all you thought about was the money aspect, I guarantee you would have probably given up within the first year, right?
I mean, I think I just really enjoy what I like doing and connecting with so many different people. But social media is just like, it's like you've got something, you can't really put it away. It's like you just want to keep on to it now. And I'm doing just to see, because obviously I like it, but it's exciting to see where it will go. Like, I don't know where it's going to go. It might not work, like, massively. It might stay the same, or it might go completely downhill. Like, I don't know how long I'm going to continue this for, but I'm just going to continue it until I can.
Of course, I don't think there's any reason for you to stop. You're just doing what you love, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Moving on to another question. I think this will be the final question. Is that obviously you speak passionately about micro influencers. Now, not to completely dismiss authentic mass influencers, talking about authenticity in content, authenticity in numbers, would you agree that obviously working with bigger influencers has its benefits more so than micro influencers? Like that's 90% of the time? Or because I do my research, I've read that micro influencers are great for brand awareness, but they don't drive enough ROI. Now, mass influencers drive a lot of ROI that aren't that great for brand awareness.
That's really interesting. From my research, I've come to the conclusion that depending on obviously the ratio aspect side of things, that in terms of monetary values of who you're going to collaborate with, if you spend the same value of money on, for example, 10 influencers, you would in fact get more ROI and conversions from spending the same amount on micro-influencers. Wow. But again, that comes down to making sure that you're collaborating with the right people within the right community that resonate with your brand.
And that comes back to authenticity as well, doesn't it?
So, you know, I mean, it's subject to who you know, where this data is coming from and which brands are saying it, because everyone has different ways of vetting and collaborating with influencers for different objectives. Yeah. But from my research, I would come to the conclusion myself that I would spend more, I'd spend the equivalent working with micro-influencers than I would
absolutely,
with macro-influencers.
Absolutely, that's right. Talk about data and micro-influencers and influencers in general. Let's talk about GDPR, because obviously my new platform, as well as yours, has a lot of data assigned to it. Now, if we're using data, how does GDPR affect us right now? Because it has affected quite a few brands in terms of emails, in terms of subscriptions.
If I get another email about GDPR, Aruj, I swear to God, honestly, like, it is annoying me now, regardless of who sends me the message or the email. It's just that GDPR, it's so boring.
But we predicted this. I remember we were in a conversation. We predicted this quite a while ago, saying that everyone is just going to get sick of it.
I'm sure, like, you guys listening to this as well can resonate with all these emails. And it's just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know. So in terms of, obviously, on my platform Toast, I'm handling data. Now, you do brand endorsement.
Yeah, so, you know, both of our platforms handle data. And, you know, I think it's great that a policy's come into place that, you know, it starts putting into place people looking after people's data. And I think, you know, that's essential. And there's so much data flying about now. You know, it's really important that, you know, we do keep our personal information private, and, you know, people don't sell our data and get money for it. And we don't know, you know, we don't know who's got our data. I mean, with Facebook and the application and all that stuff with Cambridge Analytica is just unbelievable. But in terms of GDPR and influencer marketing platforms, originally I got scared, I got worried. I'm not going to lie, I got worried and I thought, oh my God, this is really going to affect the influencer market. And I was told it was as well.
I was told it was, and I was like, oh no, this is going to be a bit of a shambles.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, you could read for days about all this GDPR rubbish. But they've set, you know, a few strict guidelines that people need to abide by. And for me, I've just overlooked the whole thing and realized that if somebody gives consent and permission for you to hold only specific data that you need and you will utilize, it's absolutely fine. Now, in terms of our platforms, the only data that we'll actually keep hold of is from influencers.
Yeah.
Those influencers that obviously are going to collaborate with brands. So unless an influencer has given their information that we require and signed up to the platform, then they've given their consent, essentially.
Yeah, that makes sense, because you've already got the consent from the direct person.
Of course.
There's no other third party that needs to get involved in terms of what, exactly, what should be done or what not when you've got that permission straight away.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. I mean, in terms of an influencer enrolling onto the platform, that does give us consent. Now, in terms of their followers, that actually doesn't affect them, because you've also got to think of social media. It is a public domain. It is public information. If someone puts a tweet out there, you're putting it out to the public. You're not putting it out to, you know, a tight-knit community. And if you don't want people to access your information or your thoughts on a certain social media platform, you turn your, you know, you turn your platform to private. But then if you're doing that as an influencer, then you've got to question what the hell you're doing.
Yeah, because an influencer is an influencer for the reason of just by people on social media. Now, if you're, I get some influencers do have their social media private, but I'm presuming that's people that either starting off or people that are either really big or people that don't want a random amount of people.
Yeah, I've got a question. That's just sounds ridiculous to me. Why any influencer that wants to have an influence on people sticks their, you know, their profile on
private.
That doesn't make sense to me.
But yeah, I think
I'm intrigued to why they've done that. But
I think with the time we've got, we could go on forever. But in terms of listening, I think 22 minutes is probably reasonable for somebody to listen to. So
definitely.
So we will do another podcast soon, I think, and I think
I'd love to. I've really enjoyed it, and I hope people have got a little insight into influencer marketing, where it was, where it's going, and how to go about getting a campaign started.
Absolutely.
And make sure you tell these followers about your profile as well. Get some followers.
Absolutely, I think that's what I've got. I'm going to flash to my Instagram around and be like, follow me. I'll get the followers, obviously. Anybody who wants to follow me can. But so Reese, if you want to finish with your social handles, and I'll finish with mine, and then we can cut that here.
Sweet. My Instagram and Twitter is ReeseDouglas1. Any information that you'll find on there is probably revolved around influencer marketing or what I'm up to with my acting and modelling and whatever else comes day to day in my very, very random lifestyle.
Amazing. So my Instagram is Vogue_Wonders. My Twitter is not really, it's not really an influencer platform, but you can follow me at @itsRegeA. And so thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Reese, for joining me on this. And another one will come soon. Just keep an eye out on my portfolio, which is arujaftabcreative.com. And that's it. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Cheers, Aruj. Thank you. Bye.